Well, good afternoon. Happy Sabbath to everybody. Wanted to offer our appreciation for those that are bringing in the produce that we've been enjoying the last few weeks. We really appreciate that. We take them home Sabbath evening and grill some and then share them on our meals throughout the rest of the week. So thank you very much for those that have a nice garden and can share with the rest of us. Well, he had just crossed the Jordan River. He'd been caught by total surprise when one of his servants had told him that his son was conspiring to take his throne. But it was true. Now he was fleeing for his life. He had been cursed and had stones thrown at him while he was fleeing his beloved city. The words still echoed in his mind. They hurt more than the stones' bruises. It was just as God had said. Adversity had struck his house. His oldest son, Amnon, had raped his daughter. Then, just 2 years later, his son Absalom had killed Amnon out of welled-up hatred for the incident. He had been tricked by his own advisor into allowing Absalom to return from his hiding. He had forgiven Absalom, but the bitterness still existed inside his son. David's life was in turmoil. David longed for the earlier years when he was a shepherd. Psalm 23 is called a shepherd's psalm. And some commentators note that David wrote this psalm during his flight from Absalom, during the time when he lost his throne. David needed the encouragement of God's promises, and God inspired him to write about them by detailing the life of a sheep. Psalm 23 is probably the most known in the Bible. Even those that perhaps don't understand the Bible or may not read it know Psalm 23. And it has great meaning. So today, we'll examine the three promises that are found in Psalm 23. Let me give you a little background of this psalm before we go through the scriptures. One of the most common descriptions of kingship when we look back in the ancient world was that of a shepherd. David had been a shepherd before he became king. You can read about that in the early sections of the Bible, but other of God's servants had been shepherds as well. You can think of Abel and Joseph and Moses were all shepherds. The shepherd metaphor is also used for religious leaders. You can look in the New Testament, and the word pastor actually means shepherd. The word pastor means shepherd. Now, when we look at Psalm 23, it actually shows us the life of a sheep. We have the early stages when it's on the ranch, where every need is provided. Then we have going out to the green pastures, and we have along the still waters when the sheep begin to drink. Then they trek up into the mountains, to the high plateaus and the tablelands during the summertime. And finally they return back to the ranch. And when we reflect on the words today, I think you'll see this as we go through it. What's interesting is verses 1 through 3 are written in third person. He, the pronoun he. The shepherd is referred to as he. And verses 4 through 6, it's written in first person. So what we see is a very deep relationship that David is discussing and talking about when he pens Psalm chapter 23. Let's turn over to Psalm 23 and we'll start through this wonderful poem that God records for us today. Psalm chapter 23, we're going to split it into three sections based on the three promises. So I would suggest that you mark your Bible with the little cord that comes in most of them, because we'll be flipping back to this as we go throughout the rest of the Bible today. Psalm chapter 23, let's read verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And we might have this memorized, and perhaps over time, because it's so frequently used, maybe we've lost some of the importance. But this gives us the first promise here in verses 1 and 2. A promise that God provides. A promise that God provides. So let's look at some of the individual phrases as we look at this promise of provision that God gives. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, sheep can recognize a human face for years after they've seen it. It's one of the gifts that God has given. And there was a study done by Nature Journal that they have can distinguish faces in a crowd many years after they've seen them. Maybe much the same way that we as humans can. So when David pens, "The Lord is my shepherd," he is expressing a very deep relationship. God is the great shepherd. David is speaking as the sheep here. He is grateful. He is appreciative of the fact that God leads his life. And David is very confident that God is leading his life. There is a devotion that is expressed here. And there is also a great gladness that the Lord is my shepherd. God is our shepherd. David is very thankful to be under God's management. He trusts God. Can we do the same? Can we recognize God in our life as David did in his, as he was expressing, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Turn with me back to John chapter 10 and in verse 11. David totally recognized that God was in control of his life, especially if this was penned when he was fleeing from the city, because God had given him a great promise that he would be king and be established forever. John chapter 10 and in verse 11, we have very similar encouraging words from our elder brother Jesus Christ. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." What we have here from Jesus Christ is a reminder that sometimes shepherds would be hired, and they weren't part of the family. They didn't have the great care and concern that perhaps those that were in the family would have for the sheep. And so when predators would come, they'd flee, and the sheep would be lost by themselves. Well, that's not what Christ says. He says, "I will care for you. I will continue to provide for you, and I won't flee." A hired hand tends to take care of the sheep simply for money. Jesus Christ has offered his life for us so that we can be a part of God's family. He does it out of great love and care, much like the shepherd would that owned the sheep that David writes about. The shepherd owns the sheep, is committed to his sheep. God has chosen us and desires to have a relationship with us. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13. God has provided a tremendous way for us to be a part of his family. And David saw that when he wrote this 23rd Psalm. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 13 and 14. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord." God cares for us. "Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." God has chosen us to have a relationship with him. He has offered his Son. He gives us his Holy Spirit as provisions to help us change our ways, to help us through our life. And so when we go back to Psalm 23 and reread the next phrase that says, "I shall not want," we can understand that the chief care of a shepherd is to see that we have plenty of food, of water, both of physical and of spiritual, to drink in of the water that gives life from the Holy Spirit, and to take in of the food that God offers in His Word. Because sheep don't possess instinct on their own to find the right thing to eat. They don't possess the instinct to find their way home when they get lost. God offers those as provisions when He guides us. Now, David had known poverty. He had lived in the caves and the rocks. He had known hardship and anguish when we think back on the events that hit his life. But yet he still says, I shall not want. He knows that God will never allow him to be lacking in anything. He is content with God's care. Go with me to Luke chapter 12 and in verse 29. Are we content with God's care? Can we say the same thing? When troubles hit us. Luke 12 and in verse 29. You probably know these scriptures. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor be anxious, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. All these things the nations of the world seek after, your Father knows that you need these things. God knows what we need. He knows what we need on the physical plane. He knows how to guide us and direct us on a spiritual level, take us down the path that will help us to grow in the way He wishes and desires. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And we can think about Psalm 12, or 121 and verse 4, where God never slumbers. God is always watching, giving us the provisions that we need. Maybe it's not in the right time that we expect, but He does provide. And we can see a very powerful example of that if we turn back to Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 5. God always provides. Even when we don't see the way, God always provides. Genesis 22 and in verse 5. This is breaking into the story where Abraham was going to sacrifice his only son, the son of promise that God had given him. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Abraham had absolute faith that he was going to go and do what God had told him to do. But he also had absolute faith that his son would return with him. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. I can't imagine what conversation went on as the father and son walked up the trail, carrying the wood and the knife. And then Isaac says, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And again, Abraham's faith is displayed. My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And so the two of them went together. Total faith that God would provide at the right time and in the right manner. Of course, not only speaking of this physical sacrifice, but looking forward to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that would come to offer salvation for all of mankind. So when we truly put our lives into God's hands, we can be content. And we can make the same statement that David says, I shall not want. Let's go back to verse 2 in Psalm 23. Because we can continue on and see God's provision for us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. One of the most difficult things for a sheep is to get them to lie down. Because they have to be free from fear. They have to be free from rivalry or friction within the flock. They have to be free from pests, you know, little flies or ticks that can get on the skin and distract the sheep. And they have to be free from hunger. So to get the sheep to lie down, you have to get rid of all these things. And then the sheep will become relaxed and lie down. Aren't we the same way? Tension and competition can exist. Sometimes amongst us, we can be fearful. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We have to get rid of our fears. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Sheep are easily panicked. If a dog comes barking at a flock of sheep, the sheep will just run off, not knowing where they're going and not even caring, and then they have to be brought back. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God's Spirit can take away the fears that we might have, dispel the fear that we perhaps generate in our own minds over the events around us, circumstances that hit our lives. God's Spirit comforts and dispels that fear. Now, sheep can get irritable, and they lose weight when there's tension between them. Is there any friction between any of us? Perhaps we've offended in a way that we don't even know. Is there any friction there? Well, I hope not, but let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18, because we have to rid our lives of the friction, of the rivalry, perhaps of the comparisons that we make with other people that think have a greener pasture than us. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. Mr. McNeely talked about this a few weeks ago in a sermon. It says, "But God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased." Verse 25, "so that there should be no schism, but that the members should have the same care one for another." We all have a part in God's church. We all have a place that God has placed us to serve and to care and to love, and there should be no friction, because we're all here reaching for the same goal of holiness and of righteousness. And we need to put out the rivalry and the friction, not despising any or thinking someone else is valueless because they're weaker, because they have an illness. None of that should exist. We all have a need, and God takes care of those needs. And God will provide. You know, the shepherd's presence calms this behavior when it exists in the flock. Go with me back to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 15. When we allow God to enter into our thinking and ask for His guidance and help, perhaps when we have the wrong attitudes, God can calm us. And if we don't allow that, God will judge. Ezekiel 34 and verse 15, it says, "I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down." God says He's going to give us peace. "I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment." Now, in a flock of sheep, you have rams that like to butt heads when they feel like they need to be in charge. And they can kind of push the sheep, move them along in the way they want to do. That's what's being talked about here. The strong are butting heads with the weak, trying to take control, creating friction, perhaps creating some dissension. If we drop on down to verse 20, it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep." This is a warning to us to put out the friction, to care for one another in love, so that we can lie down in peace in the pasture that God has given us. But of course, we have pests, don't we? We have irritations, like the little nose flies that fly in front of the sheep and work their way up into the nose. bother the sheep to the point where they bang their heads against the rock because they can't stand the irritation. Well, Psalm 119, verse 165 says that those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. So we have to put off the cares that perhaps can ensnare us from Joe Smith that has a boat down the street that we might want, the envy and the jealousy, and worry about what God has given us to be good stewards of and care for those things. Be thankful for the provisions that He has granted us. And then we can be free from the hunger. Meditating on God's Word. Turn with me to John chapter 6 and in verse 48. Because when sheep are hungry, they kind of wander around looking for food, looking for the hot, tall grasses like our cat does in our backyard when she wants to go out and nibble. She looks for the tall grass. Sheep do the same thing. They kind of wander. It's only when they're well fed that they can rest, and then they ruminate, and they can relax and lie down. John 6 and in verse 48, Christ says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." So we need to be meditating on God's truth, meditating on the proper ways that God instructs us in so that we can lie down with a calmness. And then, when we go back to Psalm 23, He leads me beside the still waters. Just like our bodies, a sheep body is made of about 70% of water. And it's important for cell growth and body function. But the supply must be clean, not polluted. What's in you? What is in you? You know, we have a lot of opportunities to drink polluted water. And when the sheep do that, they drink in the wrong algae. Their stomachs cannot function right. They become sick. They lose weight. When we eat the wrong things and are not digesting the truth that God gives us, we can have the same thing mentally and spiritually. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verse 3. Ecclesiastes 2 and in verse 3. Solomon tried this. Ecclesiastes 2 and in verse 3. We'll just pick up some highlights as we go through verse 10. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 3, it says, "I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly until I might see what was good for the sons of men. I made my works great. I built myself houses. I made myself gardens. I made myself water pools and acquired male and female servants," in verse 7. "Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem. I also gathered myself silver and gold and special treasures of kings and acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor." And then when we come down to chapter 12, verse 13, Solomon finally figured it out. Chapter 12 and verse 13, he says, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." Our water supply must be clean. It must be the truth of God and His ways. Turn with me over to John chapter 4 and in verse 13. What's in us? Is it the pure water? Or we still have some pollution we need to get rid of? I'm sure we all do. John 4, verse 13. "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Of course, speaking to the water that's just been drawn from the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Clean, refreshing, granted by the Holy Spirit to give our minds a purity, devotion, and a dedication to our Father. You know, just like the Gatorade commercial. Is it in you? Is it in you? How much of the Holy Spirit are we asking for on a daily basis to guide our minds and our thoughts? To be the still waters that are inside. Let's go back to Psalm 23 and in verse 3, and we'll see the second promise that God gives. Psalm 23 and in verse 3, David says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The second promise is that God protects. God protects. Sheep can become what is called cast. That's where they lie down in a pasture, and perhaps there's a little, I call them a divot, or a little drop in the ground. If you played football in the field and you hit one of those, your ankle turns and down you go, and then you're sorry you played the game. But the sheep can lie down in this, and then they kind of shift their gravity, and the next thing you know, their feet can no longer touch the ground. And then they're frantically fraying, trying to get up. It's called cast. Well, the shepherd has to come by, pick up the sheep, and help them stand. God always guides us. And that's a form of protection, when you think about it, to guide us in the way that He wants us to go so that we can avoid the evils and the follies and the happenings that can overcome us quickly. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. God protects us in many ways. Most importantly, He protects us spiritually. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. "As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God has given us all things that pertain to life. We don't need to feel hopeless or out of strength, because God can restore us through the power of His Spirit, which refreshes our mind. If we turn back to Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7, we can see a beautiful scripture that David also wrote. Psalm 19 and verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." I like the way the Message translation reads. It says, "The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road." Restoration, by offering life, directing our paths into His ways. And that's why David can say in the next phrase, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." There's no other class of livestock that requires such careful handling than sheep. Sheep are creatures of habit. Have you heard that phrase before? Creatures of habit. They require very detailed direction, otherwise they'll follow the same path until they create a rut. I think I've done that a few times. The shepherd has to keep them moving to different pastures so that the sheep don't become lazy, stuck in their ways. Let's go back to Jeremiah 10. We're much the same way. God has to direct us We have to trust Him enough that He is directing the right way. Jeremiah 10:23, a strong admittance that we have to accept. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. So we have to trust that God will direct us in the righteous ways to live His holiness properly, with strength and with courage. Because when we do so, then we can do what? We can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, as David writes. For you are with me. We trust that God is guiding our lives enough that we will follow Him through the unknown path, through the valleys, when the sheep were being led from the ranch up to the plateaus, the shepherd would take them through steep valleys. And there might be several hundred feet of rock that the sheep kind of look, oh yeah, where are we going here, boss? Do we trust God enough that we can follow Him through the ways we don't see? Because there is a long trek through life. And the long trek the sheep make is gradual. But in the valleys are the pure streams, are the right food that they can eat. And when the shepherd knows that and can guide properly, the sheep will be healthy. Just like we will be healthy when God guides us and directs us through the deep ravines in our lives, en route to the top. What's interesting here is the word says, walk through. It doesn't say, die in. It says, walk through. God helps us through the disappointments and the frustrations and the discouragement. And we must develop a quiet confidence that God is with us. Turn with me to John chapter 16 and verse 33. Christ had this confidence. And we have a wonderful scripture that He wrote or had His disciple write for us in John 16 and verse 33. Christ said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. John 16:33, it says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let me read it to you from the Message translation. It says, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. And of course, we can look on the example of Jesus Christ and dwell on that strength and go forward, asking God for the strength that we need because our elder brother has gone before us. And then, when we call upon that promise of God's protection, it's very comforting when the rod and the staff comfort us. God's power, signified through the rod. His staff, signified by the bent staff that draws us in, guides us properly. Let me read to you from the Bible reading program. It says, why would the shepherd's rod and staff provide comfort? A rod or a club was used to defend against wild predators. Just as God defends His people against natural or spiritual forces that seek their harm. It was also used as a disciplinary tool, perhaps even thrown at the sheep to startle them away from danger. God does that. He sends us signals that need to startle us and wake us up, to direct our paths to a different way. A shepherd's staff was used to guide the sheep and to rescue them, lifting them up out of a dangerous situation when necessary. Even so does God lead and deliver His people. Very comforting, isn't it? When we know that God's law is in us, giving us authority, giving us direction, and if we apply it, we can have the guidance that we need. Beautiful protection promise that God offers in just a few short phrases. Go with me back to 2 Corinthians 1 and in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 and in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we have to experience the difficulties so that we can, in turn, offer comfort to others. But God offers it as a protection. Let's go back to Psalm 23, verse 5. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And surely, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is promise number three. God cares. God cares. You prepare a table before me. Here is referencing the highland plateaus. You go through the switchbacks on your way up to the top of the mountain, and then it levels off. And you have a plateau. And the grass is rich and fertile, and the sheep will spend all summer there, just with the shepherd, in a very personal relationship. And that's what David's talking about here, leading his way up to the tablelands, where they spend the summer and the fall, and then returning in the wintertime back to the ranch. Before the shepherd would guide the sheep to the highlands, he would go early, perhaps in the springtime, and prepare the tablelands. He would make sure the water was clean. He would take note of, okay, well, this plant's poisonous, we won't go here. And he would look, looking at the rocks, okay, there's a wolf over here, and that might be a cougar spot, we'll try to avoid that. He's making note of where to watch for the predators, their hiding spots, and where he can take the sheep during the summer to graze properly. And it's the same promise that God gives back in Deuteronomy 31 and in verse 6. God cares. God cares, but the promise is listed a little different here in Deuteronomy 31 and in verse 6. When he was encouraging Joshua, he says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. The Lord your God, he is the one who goes before you." The shepherd who goes and checks out the path that we're going to be going on. He knows that what we can sustain and what we can deal with, and God goes before. He goes before you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers." Verse 8, "He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Great care that God has for us. He understands our lives. He understands what we face. And Jesus Christ, our older brother, has gone before, hasn't he? And if we go back to John 14, and in verse 2, Christ's promise, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." The preparation, very much like the shepherd does before he leads the sheep into the summertime highlands, to prepare. Prepare eternal life for us, offering the sacrifice, preparing the kingdom, preparing us to be a part of that kingdom. And then he says, "You anoint my head with oil." The constant application of God's Holy Spirit as we follow this path to avoid the distractions and the annoyances that life can bring, because Satan will sow dissent and discontentment and doubt and discouragement, and it blinds our vision. You know, if a sheep does not have an oil put on its head, in the summertime, it gets a lot of bugs. And these little flies can buzz around, and they get up in the nose, and they turn into worms. And this sounds gross, but the worms will work their way up into the head. And then the sheep get so distracted that they start banging against rocks and bushes. And eventually, if the shepherd doesn't catch it, it'll cause blindness. And if we're not applying God's Holy Spirit in our lives, our vision is blinded. And we can experience a lot of pain. But the antidote is oil. Just like the sheep is rubbed down with oil, we have to be anointed with God's oil of His Holy Spirit, taking it in each day. John chapter 14 and verse 16. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Jesus Christ, some of His last words He gave His disciples. He says, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." The anointing of God's Holy Spirit in our minds, helping us to understand the great care and love that God has for us. Verse 17, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him." If we're developing our relationship with God during the summer months, like the sheep are on a personal relationship with their shepherd, we know Christ. We know God the Father. "Because I live, you will live also." Verse 19. Down in verse 26 it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." And when we grasp that, we come down to verse 6 and in Psalm 23 where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The return trip for the sheep from the summer highlands back down to the ranch symbolized in the great return of Jesus Christ. Looking forward to the part that we will have as part of God's family. Turn with me back to Ezekiel 34 and in verse 23. Ezekiel 34 and in verse 23. "I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, My servant David." Of course, talking about not only David then, but Jesus Christ through the line of David that would follow. "He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and My servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." When we follow and trust in God, trust in His loving shepherd, realizing that He provides, that He protects and He cares, very soon we can look forward to the great shepherd, the one from the house of David, Jesus Christ, who will return and eventually shepherd all of mankind. What an awesome privilege it is to be a sheep in God's fold, to have a tremendous invitation to dwell in the house of the omnipotent shepherd king forever.